the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on. Welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. We can't even slow down. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house.
From HWR HQ is the 325th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris. No,
wait.
Not Chris.
Wait a second.
Robert.
Robert.
My name is Hector.
Hector.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Hello. Hector. Hector, also known as Hector from the live chat.
Yes.
Hector says this. Yeah, okay, cool. Hector, man, welcome to HWR HQ.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, man. You know, short staffed here. You know, Arnold's still on baby duty. Chris is on rodeo duty right now. He's a
Santana.
Yeah, Santana. Because, you know, I guess he's such a big Santana fan.
Whatever. Yeah. Hopefully he can sing along to those songs.
Yeah. He's going to air guitar along to Santana. That's what he's going to do. So, yeah, man. Thank you so much. Welcome. Anybody joining us tonight live in the live chat, please. Well, I need to, you know, open up my thing here on my side. But please log into your Google or your YouTube account, whatever. And that way you can chat along with us in the live chat. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll get... say, hey, cover for somebody when somebody else is out. Because that's pretty much what happened here with Hector. So, if you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, if Facebook's actually working today, because Facebook, like, kind of went down for a while. And so did Instagram.
It's all glitchy.
Yeah. And, Twitter, that's our backup, at @HWrestlingRadio. So, Robert Trapp. What's up, man? Thank you for joining us in the live chat. He says hello. And, of course, you know, Porsche sitting out in the living room says hello as well. What's up, guys? What is up? All right. So usually we're a little bit more structured, but that's usually because Chris structures everything and puts it all on his phone and this and that. And without Chris, we are nothing. So I'm going to attempt to go over some things here, because I got my wife to, Randy, thank you, baby, to send me some little notes here. So, but that's mostly from Fastlane. But Hector, you fucking badger us all the time about New Japan stuff.
I'm the New Japan guy.
You're the New Japan guy. Yes. And you communicate with Chris, because Chris, between, you know, all the other hosts of the show, has been more of the New Japan guy than anybody else.
Yep.
So please, what the hell's going on in New Japan?
Well, right now they're doing the New Japan Cup.
Yep.
So winner basically doesn't get to choose anymore for this one. Winner goes to MSG to face JY for the title.
Ugh, JY.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, like, how do you feel about JY?
He's okay.
All right.
But I feel they could have gotten, you know, somebody else to pick up, you know, the reign after Omega, even after Tanahashi, because Tanahashi is like the old guard.
Yeah.
To New Japan. So they have plenty of other wrestlers there. Like, screw it. Put it on Tama Tonga.
That would have been interesting.
He would have been made it a little bit more interesting for basically be a good heel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or, you know, make another tournament, or, you know, Naito, any of those.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, right now they're having that tournament. The match that stood out this past weekend was Ibushi versus Naito.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta admit, so far, I don't think no other match this week has been up to that standard.
Nothing top that for you?
Nope.
Is that your match of the week pick?
That's my match.
Are you coming out of the fucking gate?
Yes,
right.
I am.
Now and saying this is your match of the week?
Yes, I am.
God damn it. You have a guy on for 5 minutes.
I gotta put New Japan on the spot.
but it's okay. It's okay. You know why?
Yeah.
Because Chris, that asshole who's out there at the rodeo, he actually decided to text us or message us on Facebook and said his match of the week is still Naito versus Ibushi. I told him his opinion doesn't count, but it doesn't matter because now your opinion counts today. So yeah, somebody had to put it on there. did I watch it? No. Again, I don't hate on New Japan. It's just that, like, I never get around to actually watching it myself because I'm lazy fuck, I guess. I don't know. But is it something? Because you know our track record. You know what the hell we went through last year where we had like 17 match of the year candidates. This year we're trying to whittle it down and be a little bit more picky. Would this have been something that you need to tell me that I need to go back and look at it because it's possibly a match of the year candidate?
I don't know. It's almost up to that standard from the Osprey Ibushi match.
Mm, okay.
And that, I know that one was a close call for y'all.
That one was a close call for us.
So it's a little bit better than that, from my opinion. A
little bit better than that.
Yeah. A lot more riskier moves.
Okay. Okay, well then, you know what? I'll make an effort. I know I always say that. I'll make an effort to try to watch it. And if we already have your vote, then I got to see what I say. Let's see what Chris says whenever he's back next week and see if we could sneak that one on the list. Because I think as of right now, we don't have anything on this year's list.
Nope.
Wow. Okay, cool. Well, that's your match of the week. All right. There was something else from New Japan that I want to bring up.
Which was that?
Supposedly there's going to be a new Bullet Club member?
Yes.
Yeah, you know. Did you send me the video on that?
Yes, that was the one that sent you
okay,
the video.
Okay, yeah.
It looks to be El Fantasmo, which is weird because he wrestles. He did wrestle in CMLL before.
Okay,
but most of his track record comes from the European scene.
All right,
but it does look like he's the next Bullet Club member, which is weird because they already have a junior heavyweight in there, and he's the current champ.
Fucking. Bullet Club can, you know, be like NWO where they just have like 10,000 people.
Yeah.
They were going at that rate at one point. Well, I mean, not so much now that the Elite broke off, but yeah. I mean, I don't see a problem with them having another junior heavyweight, you know. I mean, especially if they're good. Because, I mean, remember, that's kind of what Kenny kind of started out as. He was just, you know, another junior heavyweight that was in there. We'll just give him this cleaner gimmick. And then, like, he and the Young Bucks just fucking took over.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a cool storyline. So maybe with this guy it'll work out.
That they did. So yeah, they're adding another junior. It looks to be El Fantasma. So okay. That's gonna be it.
Cool. Anything else from New Japan?
Other than that, anything else? Basically the rest of the matches haven't stood out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I even got to see the guy that was from TM61.
Yeah. Thorn.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was Thorn against one of the other Samoans in there.
One of the fucking Samoans.
It's not G.O.D. It was their understudy that looks taller than them.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Yeah, match was basically crap.
Oh
yeah, it didn't stood up to me. So yeah, other than that,
okay,
that was it.
Cool. There is some news. That's kind of interesting. That's, I guess, WWE news. But fuck it. I want to talk about it. So I guess we're going to... Well, it's not even news with a Z. It's actual legit news. Booker T is going to be a two-time WWE Hall of Famer because of Harlem Heat getting a Hall of Fame nod, which is kind of cool. Especially, you know, considering the house that I live in where, you know, we got somebody who actually, you know, works in Booker T's ROW organization here in Houston. So that's awesome. That was a nice little mark out moment for Porsche sitting over on the living room. This is we have a new Luis. It's somebody who knows you.
Yes.
His name's Luis. What's up, Luis?
So cousin.
Oh, he's your cousin?
He's my cousin.
Oh, well, looky there. That's cool. Well, welcome. Thank you for joining us in the live chat, sir. But yeah, Booker T, man, that's cool. If DX wasn't in this Hall of Fame class, I'd be a little more upset. Why? Because then that would mean that Ric Flair and Booker T are the only people that are two-time Hall of Famers. But since DX is going to be in there, that means Shawn Michaels is going to be a two-time Hall of Famer. So, okay. So now the two-time Hall of Famer thing, it's a little bit watered down enough to where I'm like, hell yeah, good job, Booker. You know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense because I even had that in the back of my mind because, okay, DX goes in. Shawn is a two-timer.
Mm-hmm.
Booker T is going to be a two-timer. You already got Rick. That's a two-timer.
Mm-hmm.
And then other than that, Triple H, this is going to be his first time.
Mm-hmm.
He's bound to go in again by himself.
He's bound to.
And then if you even want to give him a nod for Evolution, he's going to be a constant timer.
I didn't even think of Evolution.
That's what came up to me. Is like, okay, Triple H is going to be the one that's going to be a three-timer.
God.
So I guess that's why I was like, okay, Booker T, this is SummerSlam all over again.
Yeah.
King Booker versus Triple H.
Oh, geez.
Not going over again.
Yeah. So. That's bad. But no, man, I mean, but good for Booker, good for ROW.
Yes.
You know, good for, I mean, this is Houston Wrestling Radio after all, so we got to show them a little bit of love. So, yeah, good job. And to a lesser extent, we're focusing a lot on Booker. This is pretty damn cool for Stevie.
Yeah.
I mean, Stevie Ray, other than his Harlem Heat stuff, nobody really kind of cared a whole lot about his career that much. You know, he didn't have that great of a singles career. And then he kind of went away, and Booker was the one who stuck around.
Yeah.
But, and Hector, I don't know if you went to ROW a whole lot in the last few years or so.
No.
Stevie? Man, that dude, he's got some charisma on him. He knows how to work a crowd. And, like, you remember Booker, but seeing Stevie by himself in the role that he plays at ROW is him as a manager for some of the, you know, other guys,
mm-hmm.
and a heel manager. And it fucking works. And he, you know, jaw jacks with the crowd, and he's really good. And it wasn't until I saw him in that capacity here locally that whenever I went back and I saw some of the old stuff from Harlem Heat, I was like, Booker, charisma-wise, was outshadowed by Stevie the entire time.
That's what I remember more about Stevie Ray
in
the WCW days. Because he was, if I remember right, I think Stevie was the one that brought in Booker T into wrestling.
Was he?
I think so. I think it was on one of his documentaries. But
okay.
Either way, he was the charisma magnet in WCW when it was Harlem Heat. And then just given, you know, Stevie Ray does, I agree, with Harlem Heat, they were a great tag team in WCW. And then just having another WCW tag team in the Hall of Fame.
That's true.
It's another nod.
Oh, another WCW tag team? Was there another?
No. Well,
are they the only WCW?
They're going to be, so far, they're going to be the only ones.
Hmm.
Unless you no.
Well, I mean, will we count LOD? Well, no, because they put him in as LOD, not the Road Warriors, right? Yeah. Interesting.
And then, I'm guessing Four Horsemen? If
I mean, but they're factions. It's not just a tag team. It's all of them.
That'll be Blanchard and
Arn.
No.
Was it Arn and Tully? No. Who was the team in there? Because Tully was the enforcer, right?
Yeah.
And then there was Rick, and then Arn and. Jeez, this is embarrassing.
We're missing one.
We're missing one of them. Mongo McMichaels, that's who it was.
that guy.
Yeah, all right. Hector, do you got any news that's not directly related to this week's TV programming?
Other than news with the Z about certain contracts expiring and not re-signing.
Okay, is one of them Dean?
No.
Okay, good, because I think that's all kayfabe.
No, the ones that I've heard that are not re-signing, which is coincidental because they're not even coming out on TV anymore. The Good Brothers. It looks like they're not signing their contracts back up, so I'm guessing WWE's deciding to fade them out.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks. They could have been something, man. And, dude, it's because of booking. it's not because of their lack of ability. They showed you that they could go and do amazing stuff in New Japan.
Yeah.
They were part of that first wave of popularity with the Bullet Club. And they brought them over, and they did nothing with them. They put them in the club with AJ, but that never really got its wheels turning. Mm-hmm. And then nothing. Nothing.
I only had that brief run with the Raw Tag Team titles just to lose them at Mania.
Yeah.
And no rematch. Well, they didn't even get a good storyline with them. So it's basically talent wasted.
Yeah.
I guess it's going to be up to, I'm guessing, AEW or going.
Go back to New Japan.
I would prefer for them to go back to New Japan.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well, anybody else of significance rumored to not re-sign contracts aside from Dean?
None of them. Nobody else comes to mind.
Okay, cool. Then we'll move on. A portion of the live chat says it was all Anderson, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, then Nick. Who is Nick? And then Rick. Nick? Who is Nick? Nick Anderson?
No idea.
Nick Blanchard? I don't know. Nick, who the hell is Nick? Nick and the Four Horsemen? Well, that would be Five Horsemen. That's five.
Yeah.
Nick Bockwinkle. Bockwinkle was in the Horsemen? No, he wasn't. Bockwinkle was in the Horsemen?
No. Unless it was a spin-off Horseman on WCW.
Like one episode or something.
No. Probably.
I mean, like, he feuded with Rick, didn't he? Bockwinkle versus Flair? Didn't that happen? I don't know. This is before my time. Before my time.
It's a Travis question.
That's a Travis question. See, this is why we should have brought in Travis today. All right. So I guess let's go to Fastlane. We'll talk about results, what we liked, how that tied into and out of Raw and SmackDown, and just kind of see how that's going to affect maybe Mania. So we're going to just kind of keep it simple, go off of these notes here that my wife gave me. It started off New Day versus Rusev and Shinsuke. On the kickoff. Do you care?
Not really.
Did you watch it?
Nope.
You didn't watch it? Well, then, that wraps that up in a nice little bow.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then, fine. Let's move on. I didn't care. Nakamura wins. All right. Then we had SmackDown Tag Team Championship, the Usos versus The Miz and Shane O'Mac.
I was already expecting the turn.
And I was dreading the turn. I didn't want that turn to happen. Either turn, whether it was The Miz or Shane. I didn't want it to happen because I think so many people were already telegraphing it, and they were laying it on so thick that they're not their besties, their friends. Miz isn't going to turn on them. Miz isn't going to turn on them to the point of annoyance. And then it was like, all right, you're going to do it. You may as well just do it. Just do it. And they, you know, oh, no, we're not going to do it. It's like, okay. Come on, like, I don't believe you.
No, the question is, did they pick the right person to turn?
Maybe.
Because we know what Miz could do in a heel role.
True.
Now, Shane is bringing back the Attitude Era Shane when he was already a heel.
Right.
Back when he was running around with his dad.
Yeah.
So
yes and no. Yes and no with to answer your question. Mm-hmm. Do they turn the right person? Yes and no. Yes, because can Shane do it? Yeah. Does it make more sense that the entire McMahon family is heels? Yeah, that makes more sense. Because I think I was, you know, sitting here on the show a couple of weeks ago saying that, well, Vince is a dick, but Triple H and Steph, you know, they're looking like, oh, I don't like what Vince is doing. And maybe
the face.
Yeah, maybe they're teasing it. And then, like, Shane's full-on face. Well, now that they're all heel, well, that blows my theory of them having, like, internal dissension, which would have been a way more interesting story. So that kind of sucks. But it does make easier sense for lowest common denominator, everybody to be like, oh, the McMahon family, they're the bad guys.
Yeah.
So it makes sense there. But the no, because man, do I really want to see a heel chain right now? Do I really want to see a face miss? Do I really want to see them fight together? No. That's me, though. I mean, I don't know. Did you want to see Miz versus Shane?
I don't know.
Okay.
I actually never thought about that. Because other than Shane already having, what was it, two WrestleManias back-to-back? Having a singles match already in there? Mm-hmm. This being his third? But then have we actually had a Miz singles match? At Mania for a while?
Miz singles match. Okay, well, his title match was technically singles, right?
Was it a triple threat?
No, it was Miz versus Cena. But he had The Rock.
Ever since then.
Oh.
Because...
Oh, ever since then.
I guess last year
would be he was in tag match, right?
The triple threat, right? With him, Balor, and Seth.
Was it?
The IC title, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But then the last singles match, I think that I remember, was Cena. And that was it.
Face Miz and the heel Shane have happened before. Well, yeah, I know that's happened before. Thanks, Portia, in the live chat. Luis, says Shane should fight Miz's dad instead at Mania. Yes. Dude, Miz's dad is so terrible at acting. Like, all this drama was happening with his son, and he was just standing there like,
get up.
Yeah. he wasn't clapping or cheering or gasping or acting mad. He was like, my son's getting his ass kicked. that's it. Oh, man. It was so bad.
I think he needs to call up Cena's dad again to
form. Oh, God. Yes. Mrs. Cena's dad, or Cena's dad and Mrs. Dad. God, that'd be a great match at Mania. God. All right, so that was that match. Let's move on. The next thing we saw was the Women's Tag Team Championship match, the Boston Hug Connection, who defeated Nia Jax and Tamina via pinfall. Did you care? Were you entertained?
Match, it wasn't any good. I'm not going to lie. I'm a big fan of Bayley and Sasha.
Yeah.
But ever since, I know they had some messed up booking of, okay, you're going to fight each other and then forget that, become a tag team.
Yeah.
And then, okay, where are we going to go with the titles? Their biggest threat was Nia and Tamina. Other than that.
And see, I get it that that's their biggest threat, but I also didn't really want to see it because I kind of felt like, oh, of course Raw is going to get the, first crack at the thing that's supposed to be Red Robin through all the, things. It's like, ah, come on, Super Raw. But as much as I don't really like the Iconics, I got a little excited when the Iconics on SmackDown did their little, like, well, hey, it's our time now. It's our shot. So I got excited for that. Also, I'm a little bit excited for Kairi and Io on NXT to kind of, like, be pairing up a little bit with, I know that right now they're not saying, hey, I want Boston Hug Connection. They're kind of doing their own thing. But eventually, that's probably going to, because that's the only fucking women's tag team on NXT, right?
Yeah.
Right now. So I'm kind of excited for that. This particular match, I didn't care about.
Yeah.
The most exciting thing was the stuff with Beth Phoenix at the end.
Yes.
Is Beth Phoenix coming out of retirement, or is it just a one-off match at Mania? Or
it might be a one-off match.
Are you cool with it?
Beth Phoenix, yeah.
Okay.
Because she still has that presence that she could still go.
Yeah. Dude, she was so swole on Monday. Yes. Holy crap. She had muscles on muscles on muscles. I was like, holy shit. Yeah. Okay.
Hopefully Edge is listening to her.
Ooh, Blanca Rodriguez is in the live chat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they'll probably hold the belts at some point. Wait, they will probably hold the belts at some point in the future, but it's going to take some time to build them up into the top. Who's they? Who's that?
I'm guessing she's...
Is she talking about the...
I'm guessing she's talking about...
Damn it, Arnold!
I saw Arnold's comment. Yeah. I just started...
Arnold said, damn, Chris lost weight. Yeah, he grew some hair.
Skinny Chris,
yeah. Flaquito Chris.
Yeah.
My boo Blanca. Okay. Abel didn't. Fuck you, Arnold! I gained some weight. Yeah. All right. Oh, she means Kay and Royce.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. But who else though? Who do you want Boston Hood Connection to fight at Mania?
I want a Fatal 4-Way.
Fatal 4-Way?
Yes.
Whom?
Give us Kairi Sane.
And Io.
Io.
Okay.
Have somebody from Raw and somebody from SmackDown.
And then the champs.
Yeah.
Would it be okay? SmackDown, the Iconics.
You could give it to the Iconics,
and then the Savage Samoans, or what do they call themselves? The Samoan Slaughterhouse.
I guess so.
That's what they call themselves, right? The Samoan Slaughterhouse. All right, Chris. Oh God damn it, Chris! What's up? Why are you in the live chat when you're supposed to be watching Santana? God dang. Okay, Chris.
You can't sing along, that's why.
Somehow Stuffy Abel looking like Gato tonight. Jeez, all right. Everybody's over here just thinking it's a fashion show. I'm talking about wrestling. Yeah. All right. So should we move on?
Sure.
All right. So move on. Then we had, then in the middle of the damn show, we had the WWE Championship match, D-Bry versus Mustafa Ali versus KO in the triple threat.
That's
not in order. You're right.
No, it was a segment with Kofi in the
back.
That's
right. I had the wrong triple threat.
With Kofi in the back, and everybody thought that Kofi was going to get a title match. Ends up going to the ring, and then he got swerved by Vince, and now he's facing the bar in a handicap match.
Impromptu on a pay-per-view.
Yes.
Not on Raw. That was weird. That felt like a Raw segment.
And I guess, how can I put this? It was more of Vince making a point of, yeah, I'm going to make you wait for y'all to see what y'all want. You know, I'm going to give it to y'all, but I'm going to make y'all wait no matter what.
Right. Which, all right, let's talk about Kofi. All right, let's talk about Kofi here. So Kofi got the raw end of the deal, getting put into a triple threat match. Vince on Monday, or was it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
On Tuesday, said, hey, you didn't pay attention to how I said that you were getting the triple threat match. Which, even after rewatching
he said, technically, I didn't say you were in a triple threat. I did take the idea I'm going to make it a triple threat.
Yeah, which... Yeah, okay, fine, whatever. Heels are going to do heel things, whatever. Yeah. But it's still stupid. But why put him in a match against the bar? Just to stick it to him. Okay, well, if you're going to stick it to him, why are you even fooling with him now? Like, kayfabe-wise, why does that even make sense? But I don't know. But if we take the kayfabe out of it, let's just look at this straight up and ask the question everybody else online is asking this week. Does Kofi deserve it? Do you want to see Kofi in not only a WWE Championship match, but a WWE Championship match at WrestleMania? Does he deserve it?
I would have to see his performance next week.
It's all based on one week. Yes,
on next week's performance, because he has to run the gauntlet again.
Well, but not kayfabe-wise, in your own mind. In your mind, is it just based off the gauntlet?
Me being a nice guy, I guess, yeah, he does deserve it.
Because you're a nice guy?
Yeah, because I'm a nice guy. But he has proven a lot throughout the years. And funny thing is that he has to go and face the guy that, when he had that opportunity, didn't give it to him either way.
Yeah.
When he had the match against Randy. Randy had the title.
Yes, that's true.
So... But he has proven a lot throughout the years. He's been a multiple-time IC U.S. champ.
Yeah.
Multiple tag team. Obviously, he's – I guess you could call him a somewhat of a tag team specialist because in every tag team he's been in, he's actually won the title.
That's true. With Kofi, I really like Kofi. I really, really do. Mm-hmm. I was behind Kofi's main event push with him against Randy Orton back however many years it was. I was behind it. Right now, I don't think they have quite enough build to justify the story where it's at now. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve being in the main event of WrestleMania. I get it. He's been around for 11 years. He's entertained me for a long time. The New Day stuff is awesome. I like it. I get it. Cool. But storyline-wise, he just kind of came out of left field. And I think this might be a little bit like, and I hope it's better than, the last-minute main event push that Mark Henry got. Mark Henry was like mid-card, upper mid-card, his whole career. And then somebody in creative was like, holy shit, we never gave this guy a main event push. We need to do that because he's about to retire. Yeah. So, you know, I kind of feel like maybe that's what they're doing with him. Hopefully it's not as, like, rushed, and hopefully it's not as short as with Mark Henry, and they have enough time for him to actually become one of the greats in the main event seed, because that's kind of where they were going with Edge at one point. Edge at one point was going to be the guy that everybody wanted but never got until he finally got it. And then when he got it, he was on top forever. Now he's Hall of Famer, legend, great, you know, everything. So I think that, like, Kofi's, like, in the middle on his career trajectory between Edge and Mark Henry. And if this main event push doesn't stick, then he'll be Ziggler then.
Oh. Even though Ziggler is a good competitor, but yeah, we don't want that for Kofi.
Yeah.
But even, like, I'm guessing jumping a little bit ahead to SmackDown.
Go ahead.
The aggression that Kofi showed throughout the segment and even the ending part of it, of the New Day actually beating down everybody in there.
Mm-hmm.
Going after the tag teams and going after Kofi's singles competitors. And just seeing Kofi show that aggression is okay. Now you got my attention.
That's cool. That's the part that I like about it. That's the part that I know I want to see from Kofi, and I know he can be in the main event. The thing is, 4 weeks, and then I guess by the time Mania hits 6-7 weeks build, I don't think is enough to warrant this. Now, if this was going into Armageddon or something, I'd be like, hell yeah, this is great build. And then bigger, better things come later, you know? But, like, the biggest thing right from the jump, I don't know. What? Not saying that I don't think, me personally, I don't think he personally deserves it. So don't get me wrong. It's just I don't think the story has followed him.
Yeah. I guess they would need another special show to give that certain push that's needed.
A subtle racism angle wasn't subtle. What are you talking about, Porsche? Are you talking about the in-ring when they were talking to Vince? Oh, yeah, because Kofi said a guy like me or something like that. Didn't he say that?
Yep.
Yeah, that was trying to be a little subtle. I appreciated the subtlety, though, because, like, oh, we're going there. Okay. We're going there. I like it. You know, but they didn't quite go there enough yet. So, yeah. No, I liked it. If you think about it, man, this would be really cool if Kofi did win the WWE title.
It would be because that would be Kofi's Bryan moment, I guess, in a weird way.
Well, of course, because, I mean, even Bryan allegedly said it himself, where Bryan called him a B-plus player.
Yeah.
So was that a little bit too much laying it on too thick? Like, okay, we get it. You're trying to recreate the underdog story. But I don't know. I would have rather heard it from Bryan than from Vince that Bryan said it. Like, if I heard Bryan say, you're nothing but a B-plus player, I would be like, oh, fuck.
I would be like Bryan joining the Authority.
Yeah.
that would be it right there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I don't know if you realize it, but I could sense the racism with the quickness. Thank you, Porsche. Yes. Luis says he deserves his Daniel Bryan moment. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so let's move on. Since I realized what happened was I scrolled wrong and went to the wrong triple threat match. So when I was going through here, so yeah, we talk about Bar Kofi Kingston. So
question though,
yes,
did you actually see the pre-show?
I started watching the pre-show when the match happened.
If I remember right, there was the pre-show. One of the other matches there was Almas versus Rey.
Oh yeah.
And
I didn't see that.
When I saw the pay-per-view, it looked like they got added to the. That's when they had another Fatal 4-Way, right?
Man, I don't even know. The US
title.
Did it? I don't even know.
Well, I guess we'll
scroll. Yeah, we'll see here. Yeah, okay. So the Raw Tag Team Championship, the Revival versus Bobby Roode and Chad Gable versus Aleister Black and Ricochet.
That was a fun match.
It was fun. It was good.
Yeah.
I liked it. Of course, because. Aleister Black and Ricochet can't really do anything wrong in the ring right now.
Flippy dippy stuff.
Yeah. And Revival, they're nice to bounce off of with the flippy dippies because, you know, they don't do flippy dippies. But one of them tried something, like went up to the top rope and did like a crossbody or something. It looked great.
Yeah.
But like it meant to not look great, which was fine.
There's a ground and pound tag
team. Yeah. But
okay.
I still don't know if I want to see Aleister and Ricochet as a team competing for titles as teams. I talked about this with Chris last week.
Yeah.
What are your feelings about this?
I agree.
Okay.
Because the closest tag team that we had coming up from NXT with these four new call-ups was the heel DIY. Mm-hmm. But of course, with what happened to Ciampa, is that idea got scrapped because even Gargano's not coming out either way. So, of course, they put both of them as a tag team and they have to do what they need to do either way.
Yeah. I feel that there's so much more richness of character with Aleister Black to be had as a singles competitor. And same kind of goes for Ricochet. They could really dig in to their actual characters more, but since they're so like black and white, it's not like a Rock and Sock connection where they're opposites or whatever, because they're not like complete opposites. They're just different enough, you know, to where they I don't want to say they're not compatible because they have chemistry as a team. As wrestling, but the characters, like, I wish that there's something else there. I know that they could probably tell different stories. So I really don't want them to be a team. And if they're fighting for the Raw Tag titles, I don't care about the Raw Tag Championship.
Nope. I'm guessing they're going to split them. The split's going to happen, but it's going to happen whenever they do the draft.
I hope so.
That'll be the only time. But other than that, Raw is basically desperate for tag teams. I don't,
and that's sad because they could not be. The you mentioned them earlier. I think maybe before we were recording, right? What you were talking about, Sanity and
from the SmackDown side,
yeah,
the Good Brothers and Sanity were not even involved in any tag team segments,
right? And then you've dropped the ball 10 times with the Ascension.
Yes,
you know, AOP. Okay, one of them's injured. All right, fine. You get a pass there, but. There's so many tag teams that...
But in reality, who else is left and Raw for as a tag team? Because obviously, you had an opportunity to even think about putting American Alpha back up, knowing that Jason Jordan's been cleared for a while, and they still haven't brought him up, so I'm guessing they're saving
him for... Well, no, he got cleared, but then something happened where he's like not going to wrestle anymore. I don't remember what it was, though. Porsche, maybe you remember in the live chat. But no, there was some other. Well, it could have been news with a Z, where it was something where, like, he's just not going to wrestle. I can't remember what the hell it was. But okay.
What other significant tag team is left on Raw? other than the ones being involved in the title picture right now?
Man, I don't know. Nobody. Yeah. So I guess that's the excuse. There's nobody else. But why is there nobody else? Well, it's your own damn fault. You didn't book correctly for booking. Some of these guys. All right. Chris, what do you want, Chris? Chris in the live chat trying to actually be a part of the show. He says, okay. He says, my apology to the ladies, but I want the last match of WrestleMania to be Brian Kingston.
Ooh.
Wow.
I think Porsche has to defend that one.
Yeah. If in any event, there's going to be a buffer match between the women's triple threat and Brian versus Kingston. Oh, okay. The biggest, and then Brian, or Chris comes back. Biggest flaw with Black O'Shea is there's no backstory as to how these two ended up together.
Yes.
Oh, boom, mic drop right there. Yeah, why
just because they're, just because they're from NXT, that's it. I'm guessing that's what Vince says. You saw them on NXT? Here you go.
Yeah. Like, oh, dang. All right.
By the way, Chris screwed up Aleister Black for me because he made a great point about the timing of his entrance. When he's supposed to come up and the drum hits and he's supposed to step.
Yeah.
Ever since I heard that and now I can't unsee it.
Porsche says, Jason Jordan was just too severely injured. He has the same thing as Edge.
Ooh.
So I guess he wasn't cleared.
Yeah, same thing as Ciampa.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost the same thing that Ciampa has.
But see, supposedly Ciampa's going to be back in like a few months.
Yeah, he'll be doing what Sheamus is doing because he has the same thing.
Oh, Sheamus has the same thing? Mm-hmm. Damn. All these people hurting their necks, which was the same thing Brian had. They need to go jump in that freaking deprivation chamber. That's what they need to do. Go get some elevation in the Rocky Mountains and just like lay in some water
and join his hemp club.
Hemp club for men. God dang. All right. There was a lot of matches on here at this freaking pay per view. All right. So, United States Championship match, Samoa Joe, Rey Mysterio, Andrade, and R-Truth.
That was a match that actually got my attention and I really enjoyed.
Match of the candidate? I'm willing to give it match of the candidate for myself.
I guess but then again, you still have to watch the Ibushi Naito match. Other than that, putting that New Japan aside, that would have to be my match of the week candidate from WWE.
Okay.
Because they, even though they're all thrown in, they have that chemistry that, everybody has a spotlight on the match. And just the goofiness of
R-Truth. That's what I was about to say. R-Truth is R-Truth. Just goofy and it works, man. I love R-Truth being so fucking goofy.
Doing the homage to John Cena's Final Knuckles Shuffle.
Yeah. And then, like, Samoa Joe having none of it. Samoa Joe just, like, killing. Like, he's being the perfect foil for the goofiness of R-Truth, where, you know, he's being super serious, where R-Truth is just being a clown in a good way.
Commentary just gets me every time whenever he does that. It's like an homage to his childhood hero.
Yeah.
And,
he's, like, he's older than him.
Graves is like, he's 6 years older than him. Come on.
Black don't crack.
Yeah.
All right. So what's going to happen with the United States Championship afterwards? Like, do we even have a match for the U.S. title at Mania?
No. Nope.
Do we know what's going on? Samoa Joe just has a belt and he's running around with it. That's it.
I'm hoping they don't put him on the pre-show.
Oh, yeah. All right. So then after that happened the women's tag team match. So that's where I was screwing up on my scrolling here. And then the WWE Championship match. All right. So, Lynch versus Flair. If Becky Lynch wins, she gets to go to WrestleMania in a triple threat match versus Ronda and Flair.
Yes.
The match itself was all right. There was a lot of shenanigans.
It was
especially towards the end.
Yes. The shenanigans in the end, which really was, it made sense.
It made sense
because obviously Becky still, I don't know if she's actually injured, but again, kayfabe.
Well, she was like Ronda, actually injured on Tuesday.
Yeah, that Ronda doesn't acknowledge either way. But
yeah,
most of the match, Becky was on the floor taking the whipping.
Yeah.
Other than that,
which made for a not entertaining match.
Yes, but it served the purpose of
not
letting people see Becky fail.
True.
Because the scapegoat was Ronda, and it was played very good, knowing that, okay, Ronda wants Becky in the match, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It was a singles match, DQ. Okay, I don't mind Charlotte being there, but I want this bitch here.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That was the perfect scapegoat.
Yeah. And I mean, not every single match has to be a Meltzer 7-star classic. I get it. Some matches just need to be your, you know, matches for just plotline development. And that's what this match was. Like, if you take away all the context of what's happening in this match and you just said this, like if you didn't know who Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch were, if you didn't know who they were, and I was sitting you down in front of a match, in front of a TV to watch this match for the first time, you're like, this is boring. Why is she just beating up on the girl that's already limping? This is dumb. You know, like the match itself wasn't like, ooh, ah, you know, like it was, all right, come on, Becky. Yeah, I really like you, Becky. So please do something. I hope you win. How the fuck is she going to win? And then the shenanigans with Ronda. It's like, oh, well, okay. You know, and like, all right, I get it. And I'm the story guy. I'm the guy who was always sitting here saying, man, I want story. This particular match, I'm like, eh, I don't know, whatever. Maybe because it was kind of predictable. I didn't need the story because I knew somehow, some way Becky was going to get inserted in.
It was predictable, but I guess what got my attention was how was it going to go down?
Luis said, it's a waste. I'm waiting for Mania for them to really put on a show.
Yeah.
Now, Ronda. Ronda kind of blew up the internet over the weekend.
Yes, she did.
I did not actually see the thing that started all this, but I saw all the memes and all the reactions, and I basically got the gist of it just off of the reaction, which is Ronda basically said, wrestling's not real and all this shit is bullshit. Am I wrong? Did you watch the thing?
I watched the video.
Okay.
And It was interesting because she did call out everybody's a mark, and obviously we know because we watched the product and we know what some things are going to happen. But at the same time, it's like, do you want to be told that, yeah, you're a mark? You already know what you know. But yeah, I'm still going to call you that.
Yeah.
And basically not respecting the industry. The gist of the whole video was, fuck the business, fuck everybody, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And the ironic part is, okay, you don't want to, she never dropped the F word, which is fake.
Okay.
Which is one thing I'm guessing that she's not allowed to say.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that, okay, she has the pride of saying, I'm the champ. But yeah, you're the champ of this fake product you're putting down.
Right. So
you're a paper champion.
Yeah.
So it was like,
which indicates to me that this was all a work.
Yes.
It's a work shoot. It's that second layer of kayfabe that I've said that I've suspected WWE just uses. And if that's the case, it's fucking brilliant because it solidified her heel turn. Everybody doesn't like Ronda right now.
Yes.
Because even the marks who are like, oh yeah, I'm the smart mark, I know what's going on, they're like, how dare you disrespect the industry? It's like, because you just got worked, bitch. And like, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love that everybody is mad at this. Like, so I'm kind of cool with it. So
hey, that's what happens when she joins up with Paul Heyman. The news with the Z is that most of the promos that Ronda is doing are in collaboration with Paul Heyman.
Oh, that's cool.
So, Heyman girl, we all wanted that.
Yeah.
But we wanted that on screen.
Now, see, the other thing that I want, that I like from this, and I might be reading too much into it, is that this brings us one step closer to having the four horsewomen of MMA versus the four horsewomen of wrestling. Like, I know it's still a fucking long shot, because, I mean, you got Charlotte and Becky who hate each other's guts. Then you got the Boston Hook Connection who are just, you know, touring the world with their titles. And then you have the other, one of the horsewomen who's actually competent in NXT. And the other two are green as, you know, dog shit. So it was like, all right, we still have a ways to go until we have that 4-on-4. But it's one step closer. Because you couldn't have Shayna and the other two be heels with Ronda as the baby face of all baby faces.
Yeah, now that Ronda's a heel, that's a perfect way to bring him up.
Yeah.
But I won't see that happen until, like, SummerSlam.
Blanca says she just pointed what everyone knew. I guess you meant to say pointed out what everyone knew, but used it to her advantage. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Use the story.
Which is great. It, using that second layer of kayfabe, that reality that we think we know is the complete reality, but it's not. I'm telling you, man, they work us. There's two layers of kayfabe, I'm telling you. All right. So Elias sings, whatever, and business picks up. Okay. Then we had the Shield versus the Not Shield. Corbin, Drew McIntyre, and Lashley. And the Shield won.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
No.
The match was good. I enjoyed it. Match of the week candidate for me as well.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I enjoyed the shenanigans of them fighting around outside. It reminded me of the Shield versus Evolution. Seth jumping off of the barricade onto everyone. That happened in both of those matches. I was getting flashbacks. So I liked it.
So they played you with the nostalgia factor.
They played me with the nostalgia. They played me with Seth's flippy dippies. They played me with Dean not being this weird-ass Dean that we've seen for 2 months where he's trying to do this heel turn. But, like okay, whatever. Let's just forget about this heel turn. Mm-hmm. You know, and go back to what they were. So I was cool with it. And the heels were just fodder. And I'm okay with it because I mean, I like Lashley. I want Lashley to be more than what he is. I think Drew will be more than what he is at some point. But this particular match, whatever. Dale. Let the Shield have their fun. Yeah. And I had fun with them.
It was the Shield's last hurrah.
Last hurrah. Yeah. You know, Ric Flair retired like 15 times. He retired more times than he was champ. Did you like that match?
It was a little bit of entertaining, and just seeing Roman back in the ring was okay. I'm happy that he overcame what he overcame and he's back doing something that he loves.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like, okay, what's the real story would be coming out of it because of the comments that Baron Corbin made. That day or on Monday. The week after, you know, he left. But other than that, it was okay. Let's put these guys together just because Roman wants it and let him have his fun.
See, the story on the Shield side I bought because, I mean, Roman just came back. Roman's wish when coming back is, hey, I want to get the band back together. Mm-hmm. That's all the story I really need for that side. The lack of story was on the other side.
Yes.
Who are these three guys that want to beat him up and why they want to beat him up? Just because they want to beat him up? Why?
Who was in the match?
It was Corbin,
Lashley
and Drew.
And Drew. Okay, I would have swapped out Lashley and put Elias.
Yeah.
Because Elias was the one that was beefing with
Ambrose. Dean. Yeah.
So that would have made a better story for me.
Okay.
On the heel side.
Yeah.
But just putting Lashley just because he's a powerhouse is.
I wish that they would do more with Lashley. I wish that they would treat him the way he was kind of treated in TNA as like a serious threat, main event status, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they're kind of trying to do that, but
I guess they're going to, you're going to get that whenever they take the belt off of Brock.
All right. So that ends our talk for Fastlane.
Yeah.
But Brock wasn't at Fastlane, but we still got to talk about him because he's the fucking Universal Champion. So, all right, Seth versus Brock, still going to happen. Do you care?
After the Raw promo that Seth did with Paul Heyman, it kind of built up a little bit.
It
moved the needle because all the points that Seth was saying were true. Yeah. Even though the counterpoints from Heyman were actually
pretty true, too.
Pretty true.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like I could beat up my beast has beat up all your little guys. Well, all these little guys, the beast barely beat. Well, what they had, and we didn't have time. Like, well, okay, I have time. Yeah, but we beat you before. Like, there was a lot of, like, point counterpoint that made sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
It's going to be one thing I have noticed is that Brock always has better matches with smaller people.
Which is kind of weird, but makes sense.
But I guess it contradicts the styles.
Yeah.
Because if you call the match even when he had with Eddie Guerrero back in the
day. Yeah, that was good. The match he had at SummerSlam with The Rock, that was really good. And The Rock's not a little guy, but he's littler than Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
You know, that was really good. That was when The Rock had, like, all the cardio for days, and he could, you know, go.
Doing what, Scorpion King or something
like that? Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And, you know, people sometimes, like, think about The Rock as, like, this great wrestler. He was really more charisma than he was in-ring. But there was a point in time, especially right then, when he was, like, really good in the ring.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's what Lesnar got. But, okay. Luis says in the live chat, keep Drew as a singles competitor. They're going to waste him.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could have something there with Drew. I think they do. They could really have something with him. But yeah, I don't know.
But other
they just got to build them, right? I don't know if I have the confidence in WWE for them to build anybody right.
Especially on the Raw side.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
So I still think SmackDown is a better product than Raw. Yeah. So.
Are we forgetting anything?
Mm.
Live chat, are we forgetting anything? Is there anything you guys want to bring up right before we come off the air?
I guess if you want to skip Raw and go to SmackDown.
Okay, what's on
SmackDown? Well, obviously the Kofi segment. Mm-hmm. You did have Ray beat Joe, so that might set up something there.
Okay.
For the U.S. title. Other than that.
That's
and
it.
The Miz and Shane?
Whatever.
Best in the world.
We already talked about Miz and Shane. All right, so NXT?
Sure.
All right, so this past week's episode of NXT, not the one that aired tonight because we're always on a week delay. Last week's episode of NXT, we saw the first round of the Dusty Rhodes Invitational Tag Team Tournament. So we had four opening round matches.
Yes.
And all four were pretty good. The match that I'm going to say is my match of the week pick, it's going to be DIY versus Undisputed Era, the main event. Holy crap, that match was fire. I loved it. It was really good. And it's funny that almost all the time, consistently, when I wind up picking a match of the week over the last, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, it's been off of something that I watched right before we aired the show. And that's what happened tonight. We just happened to be watching NXT right before we recorded, and that was the last match. And I'm like, holy shit, that's my match of the week.
I guess because it's fresh in your mind?
I guess. Like, I hope that's not what it is, because I like to think that I'm able to filter out that bias. Mm-hmm. And I think that match just was that damn good. And maybe it's just coincidence that all the good stuff Chris shows me at the end of the week when I'm not watching Raw and SmackDown, it just happens to be. But it just happened this week, and Chris didn't show me. I showed it to myself. Yes. So I don't know. But again, I didn't watch the New Japan match you and him are talking about. Yes. So, but if you're a fan of tag team wrestling, if you didn't watch NXT last week, you need to go back and rewatch it. The whole episode. Yeah, there was a lot. It was four tag team matches. All four of them were good. Particular shout out to, was it Lorcan or was it Birch? I think it was Lorcan that made a save. Why somebody had somebody in the Boston Crab. Lorcan just went in there and headbutted him to save his partner. Like, what the hell?
Forget the kick, just clean up and
just like headbutted him right in the face, chest area. Like, that was ridiculous. But yeah, the Undisputed Era
well, even that
DIY
Street Profits and Mustache Mountain
was actually good. That was really good.
A lot of close calls.
There was a lot of close calls. Top to bottom, all four of those matches were great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. And I know that Chris kind of threw out the spoiler alert last week saying that, oh, well, you know, Ciampa's injured, so they're going to ride him out, and they already started the tournament, so they're not winning the tournament. I'm like, oh, great. Thanks, Chris. But I thought that meant that they were going to get bounced in the first round, but they didn't. So that was a nice surprise to me because I had it in my head that they were getting bounced in the first round. And so it wasn't spoiled for me in kind of a way because I was expecting them to lose, and then they won. Yeah. So I was like, oh, wow, okay, cool. And the opposite effect of the Shield match was here. I didn't want the nostalgia factor. I didn't want these two to be a team. But when they came out to their own entrances and then they stopped and turned around and the DIY music hit, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, this is going to be stupid. But I kind of like it, but this is stupid. And can they get along? And then they got along.
If they would have played it out to the heel DIY, they would have used the same music but just slowed it down a lot more.
Oh, yeah. Is that way people aren't like, clap. Yeah.
Other than the Nakamura thing. Yeah. Take away the sing-along and just put words that people can't sing along to.
Yeah. Chris in the live chat, I don't know what he's talking about. He says set up Joe versus Cena.
Well, they are still looking for Cena's opponent at Mania, which we kind of skipped over it on Raw.
Okay.
Kurt Angle did announce that his retiring match is going to be at Mania.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
And him versus Apollo was pretty good.
Which was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
They actually gave Apollo a good match.
Yeah. I wonder if that was Kurt's decision.
Trying to put somebody over?
Yeah.
Also.
I mean, he didn't put him over because Kurt still won.
No, but I mean like showcase.
Yeah, give him a rub. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which we also missed something on Raw.
What's that?
The attack from Shelton Benjamin on Seth Rollins.
Yes!
So, which it would have been nice, okay, if Kurt was actually going to have somebody to fight his last Pittsburgh match because I think they were in his hometown.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to have Shelton versus Kurt.
That would be cool.
That was his understudy.
That's so true. But I do like the idea of aligning Shelton with Brock because of their, you know, college history. You know, yes. They were on the same old wrestling team back in college and stuff. So it's like, okay, if they turn that up a little bit, and I know it's just like 3 weeks now because this week's worth of TV is already over. But man, that would have been nice to have this entire time, you know? You don't have Brock around? Okay. Well, you always have Heyman singing his praises, but who's their enforcer, their little minion? Benjamin. Shelty. Yeah, Shelty B.
And,
why not?
And he could go because I still remember some of his matches in New Japan when he was with Suzuki Gun.
Yeah.
And I know he could go on that. So that would be a perfect opportunity for Shelton to get back in the spotlight.
Yeah, and I'd like that, man. I like that. Yeah. Now, I always sit here and I say, man, I wish I could do something more for this person. I wish I could do something more for this person. And it's like I sit there and I say, everybody on the roster needs to have something more done. And like, there's only so many hours worth of TV.
I think some of them need to be sent back to NXT.
Who? Who would you send back?
Bring. You know, it would have been a good callback. Okay, you're not using Sanity and you're not using the Ascension, right?
Yeah.
Ascension have a history in NXT of being the longest reigning tag team.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have the Dusty Classic. Why don't you put two of the best teams right there?
That would be cool.
Have them doing something.
Yeah. You know? No, Luis, we need more belts. No, we don't need more belts.
No.
No more. Nasty Nate, what's up, man? Welcome back. He says, with a run in from Charlie Haas. Oh, Charlie Haas. All right. Is that it? Are we done? Do we have anything else? No?
Not really.
Okay, well then, that's a show.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hector, for coming by. This is awesome. We'll see, you know, in future going forward, what all we'll do. But anybody in the live chat, thank you so much for joining us. I know we had some new faces in here, probably because of this guy here. That's awesome, though.
Brought viewers. So.
Yeah, brought in some viewers. Look at this guy. Bringing in viewers. Ratings, folks. All right. Well, cool. Next week, we'll continue our road to WrestleMania. We'll have Chris back, hopefully, if he doesn't get arrested tonight. I mean, there's always that chance with Chris. Well, until next time, adios, my friends. Keep it classy.